理课堂听 class.com。
Chapter 3 My Decision 3 seconds before the arrival of this letter, I had no plans to pursue this mysterious sea monster myself. 3 seconds after reading the letter, however, I decided it was my duty to find this animal, so the seas would again be safe for travel. I had just returned from quite a tiring journey, and wished to again see my country, my friends, and my little house. However, after receiving the letter, I forgot my tiring journey, my friends, my little house, and accepted this invitation from the American government. Besides, thought I, all roads lead back to Europe, and the sea animal may be friendly enough to hurry me towards the coast of France. Perhaps the animal will be caught in the seas of Europe. Conseil, I called to my servant, in an impatient voice. Conseil was my faithful servant, who traveled with me on all my visits. I liked him, and I believe he liked me. He was calm, quick, eager to assist me, and only gave his advice when it was asked for. He had come with me on all my travels for the past 10 years, and never once complained. At 30 years old, he was always in excellent health. He was 10 years younger than his master, but seemed a great deal more energetic and youthful than I. But Conseil had one fault. He was always too formal. Even after 10 years of service, he spoke to me only as a servant. Conseil, I said again, beginning to prepare for the departure. As he was quite a faithful servant, I never asked him if my traveling would be convenient for him, but this trip would be rather long and perhaps dangerous. What would Conseil say? Conseil! I called a third time.
Did you call, sir?
He asked as he entered. Yes, please prepare for us to leave in 2 hours.
Of course,
replied Conseil quietly. We must hurry, I said quickly.
We are returning to France, then?
He asked. Oh, certainly, but we are not returning directly, I answered shortly. We will be taken aboard the Abraham Lincoln. We will help destroy that dangerous whale that has destroyed so many ships on the seas. We then packed our things and left to board the great ship.
Professor Pierre Arinache,
the captain of the ship greeted me as we arrived. Yes, I replied. Captain Farragut?
You are welcome, Professor. Your room is ready for you.
The Abraham Lincoln was an excellent choice for the journey, as it reached a speed of nearly 20 miles an hour, a rather high speed for a ship, but would never be able to win a battle with a mysterious sea animal. As I was settling into my room, the captain called for us to depart from the port. If I had arrived 15 minutes later than I had, I would have missed this amazing journey. Captain Farragut decided we would not return to the area in the Pacific Ocean where the sea monster was last seen. As we left the harbor, a crowd of nearly 500,000 people cheered as they watched our departure. Chapter 4 Ned Land. Captain Farragut was a good seaman, the soul and leader of the great Abraham Lincoln. He was determined to find the sea animal. He believed in it. The monster did exist, and he would destroy it, making the seas safe once again. Either Captain Farragut would kill the animal, or the animal would kill the captain. The sailors on board shared the opinion of their captain. They were continually discussing the sea animal, watching the ocean, waiting to see their enemy. Besides their desire to seek out this sea monster, there was a reward of $2,000 for the first man on board to spot the monster. I watched eagerly with all the rest. Conseil, however, showed no interest in the matter. He seemed to be the only one aboard not eager to discover this sea animal. Captain Farragut had provided his ship with every weapon to catch the sea monster. No whale-catching company had been better prepared for such an adventure as we were on the Abraham Lincoln. Better still, we had Ned Land with us, king of the whale catchers. Ned Land was a Canadian, with a great talent for catching whales. He was skillful, calm, bold, and clever. Nearly 40 years old, he was quite tall, more than 6 feet high, with a strong body that he moved quickly with passion and strength. He attracted many people to him, with his bold and confident manner. Although Ned spoke little to those he did not know, he seemed to be quite fond of me. Little by little, Ned Land became more talkative with me. We are old friends now, an unchangeable friendship that arose while facing terrible dangers together. Ah, brave Ned! Ned did not share my idea of the sea monster being a gigantic whale, although every other person on board believed the great whale did exist. He rarely spoke on the subject of the sea monster. One evening, as we were looking out into the sea, I became quite curious about his views on the sea monster and begged him to speak his opinion on the matter. He looked at me closely for a few minutes before speaking.
"Perhaps, Professor Aronnax, I do not believe we are following a sea monster."
"But, Ned, you are a whale catcher, familiar with all the great animals of the sea. How is it that you can doubt the existence of such an animal?"
"That is my point. No scientist who studies the stars should believe in magic stars flying through the skies. So why should I, a whale catcher for many years, believe that such a mysterious animal exists? I have seen several different types of whales throughout my years as a whale catcher, but not one had been able to damage a ship."
"But, Ned, people talk of ships that have been damaged by the teeth of the narwhal whale, which has a strong tooth, able to make a hole in the bottom of a ship."
"Wooden ships, that is possible,"
replied the Canadian.
"But I have never seen it done. I cannot believe that gigantic whales could damage the iron bottoms of ships as you say they do."
"Well, Ned, the narwhal whale has incredible strength, as does its one large tooth, easily able to damage the bottom of a ship," I said as I saw he was looking at me carefully as I spoke. "For such an animal to be able to live in the depths of the ocean, it must have a great amount of strength. If you or I were to travel to such depth, our bodies would quickly be destroyed because of the great pressure at deep levels in the sea. Therefore, for such an animal to live in the depths of the ocean, its body and skin must have great strength to resist the strong pressure."
"Why? They must be made of iron themselves,"
Ned Land exclaimed. "Yes, it must have the strength of iron and the speed of a train, throwing itself at each passing ship through the ocean."
"Yes, certainly, perhaps,"
replied the Canadian, not quite willing to believe me. "Do you believe me now?" I asked.
"Well, I believe that if such animals do exist at such depths in the ocean, they must be as strong as you say.
But if they do not exist, then how do you explain the many ships that were damaged as they passed through the seas?